Hey Central Ohio, the nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
Big color, bigger savings. It's Sherwin-Williams' biggest super sale. Get 40% off paints and stains October 17th through the 27th with prices starting at $29.39. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Well, today we're talking to Cathal Watchford from Brevin's Franks. How are you doing today?
I'm very well, Howard. How are you doing?
I'm very well. I'm glad we're into October because it's a little bit cooler.
Yeah, the weather's been fantastic here. Based in Mallorca, but we've had fantastic weather over the past few weeks.
Yeah. Well, maybe Indian summer, as they call it, don't they, in some places?
Indeed.
So anyway, we're returning to a tax topic this week, getting back to basics and looking at what makes you liable for taxation in Spain. It can get complicated if you spend time in more than one country, and applying for a residence permit doesn't always make you a tax resident. So Cathal is here to simplify it for us. So Cathal, what is the difference between tax residence and residence in general?
A very good question, and it's a question that I often get when people are looking to differentiate between the two. And so, in the past, for example, you could have gotten residency in Spain and spent, part of the year in Spain, gotten your residency certificate and so forth. However, things have gotten a bit more complicated, I guess, since Brexit. And so there are two different concepts of residence that you need to be aware and plan for. So we have what's called lawful residence, and this relates to your rights as a national of one country to move to live and work in another country such as Spain. And generally speaking, you'll need some form of visa to live and work in another country. Obviously, pre-Brexit, you didn't need a visa. You could just move across to Spain and get your residency certificate, and it was quite straightforward. But now, since Brexit, you'll need to, generally apply for some form of visa before you move over, perhaps speak to the consulate in the UK, the Spanish consulate. And so it involves a bit more planning than before. The same would apply, for example, if you wanted to move to, the United States or something like that. So getting your lawful residence correct is very important, and it's been very much highlighted in recent years. You also then have what's called tax residence, which is the form of residence we most commonly speak about. And so this relates to where, in which country has the taxing rights over your worldwide income, gains and wealth. And so therefore, not just getting your lawful residence correct, you also need to make sure that you have your tax residence in order. Because if you were to legally move to Spain and then spend, say, most of the year here in Spain, you would indeed be deemed to be a Spanish tax resident, and therefore your tax obligations would lie here in Spain. So when we look at, lawful residence options, there's various types such as the Spanish Golden Visa, which can be obtained if you bought a property in Spain for worth more than €500,000. You also have the non-lucrative visa, which is a common visa that many retired people have applied for and gotten, and it's quite straightforward to get. And so overall, there are ways to go about it. And I would say the main thing is just to get the correct advice with a, specialist in the area to make sure you're getting both your lawful residence and also your tax residence in order.
What taxes are you liable for if you're a tax resident in Spain? And does this affect the Modelo 720 obligation?
Yes. Yeah, so in Spain, you have somewhat similar taxes that you'll have in the UK, which many of our listeners will be more used to. So in Spain, you have income taxes, which there's two different types of income taxes. You have general income tax, which the rates range from 19 to 47%, although there is some variance between the 17 autonomous regions here in Spain. And another part of income tax is the savings rate of income tax. So the general income tax covers salary, pension income, rental income, all earned income and so forth. And the savings rate of tax covers capital gains tax, interest, dividends, and so forth. And for the savings rate of tax, the rates range from 19 to 28%. So again, that's somewhat similar to the UK, where you have tax rates from usually the general income tax are between 20 and 45%. And in the UK, you then have various types of other taxes which would be covered under the savings rate of tax, which would be capital gains tax, dividend tax, and so forth. Also in Spain, we have property taxes, which are payable on your property that you own, perhaps in Spain. You also have property transfer taxes and VAT if you're to purchase a new property or perhaps an existing property. So there's taxes applicable there, which could be somewhat similar to stamp duty in the UK. We also have succession tax here in Spain, which is the equivalent of UK inheritance tax in the UK. And this does vary quite a lot between the 17 autonomous regions. So you will need to assess your succession tax and the various rates depending on the region where you live. Oftentimes, succession tax is quite a bit lower than inheritance tax in the UK, so that the rates wouldn't be as high as, you know, 40%. And many regions, including the Balearic region where I'm based, have actually abolished succession tax for close family. So overall, succession tax is probably a bit more manageable than UK inheritance tax. And then the main tax that we have here, which you don't have in the UK, is Spanish wealth tax. And not many countries anymore have a wealth tax. And so that's probably the biggest hurdle to navigate when you're looking to move to Spain, as people aren't used to paying a tax based on the value of their assets. So overall, I mean, the tax picture, again, it's not dissimilar to the UK. And in many cases, there can be tax advantages to moving to Spain versus the UK. And some of that derives from the fact that the succession or inheritance tax picture is far more favorable here. And to answer the second point of your question, does it affect the Modelo 720 obligation? So, yes, I mean, the Modelo 720, the purpose of that form is to have a declaration of your overseas assets if you're a Spanish tax resident. So although technically the Modelo 720 is not a tax filing where you don't pay any tax when you file it, it looks to take account of bank accounts, property and investments with a value of north of 50,000 euros that exist outside of Spain. And so it's very likely that the Spanish tax office will use the Modelo 720 to cross-reference one's tax declaration. The Modelo 720 has changed recently. Spain had an issue with the European Court of Justice whereby the penalties and fines they were levying for lack of compliance or non-completion of the Modelo 720 were deemed to be far too high. So they've dropped many of these large penalties. So this Modelo 720 form doesn't hold as much gravity as it did before, but it certainly needs to be completed properly, and it is a tax obligation for Spanish tax residents.
So what makes you a tax resident in Spain? Is it just a question of counting how many days you spent here?
So in terms of becoming a tax resident in Spain or remaining a non-resident, there are a few different criteria. The most common one, or the most important one, I would say, will come down to days. So if you spend more than half of the calendar year, so firstly, the Spanish tax year runs from January 1st to the end of December. So it's the calendar year tax year. So if you spend more than half of the calendar year in Spain, or 183 days or more, you're deemed to be a Spanish taxpayer. And it's very black and white. It's either, you know, you spend more than half the year, you are deemed to be a Spanish taxpayer. If you spend less than 183 days or 182 days or less, you're not deemed to be a Spanish taxpayer based on the days criteria. So that's the most common way to gauge if someone is a tax resident in Spain or not. There are two other ways that Spain could deem you to be a Spanish tax resident, despite the number of days you spend here. One is called your Center of Economic Interests. So that means that if Spain deemed that your Center of Economic Interests are in Spain, which would mean that, let's say, the majority of your assets, your income, and your economic activity is done here, they can deem you to be a Spanish tax resident even if you spend less than half of the year in Spain. And then the final one is your Center of Vital Interests. So this relates to if your close family, your spouse and your dependents live here in Spain. Spain can deem you to be a tax resident on the basis that your kind of center of vital interest or your family is mostly based in Spain versus any other one country. So again, if you spend less than half of the year in Spain, but your center of vital interests are in Spain, Spain could indeed deem you to be a Spanish tax resident on the back of that.
Well, what happens with people who arrive halfway through a year or leave halfway through a year?
So this depends on some of the factors that we've discussed already. So primarily it comes down to if you spend more than half of the year. So if you leave halfway through the year, if you spent just over 183 days in Spain in that year, you would indeed be deemed to be a Spanish tax resident for the full calendar year. So in Spain, we don't have what's called a split year. So it's either you're a resident for all of the calendar year or all of the tax year or not at all. So if you spend more than 183 days in Spain, even if you leave, say, roughly halfway through the year, you would be deemed to be a Spanish tax resident for the full year. If, on the other hand, if you spend less than 183 days or 182 days or less, you would be deemed to be a non-Spanish resident for the full year. So therefore, timing it and gauging whether you're going to spend just over half the year or just under is very important as to whether you'd be deemed to be a Spanish tax resident for that year. Of course, the other items like your center of economic and your center of vital interest do play into this as well. So you need to be conscious of that. And another element to think about is if you are spending time in another country, for example, 6 months, you might be satisfying tax residency in another country. So, for example, if you were to move to or from the UK, you need to also navigate UK tax rules, and there is a double tax treaty and various other residency rules there. So overall, again, it depends on the amount of days you're going to spend. It depends on the other factors like your centre of economic and vital interests. And of course, it also depends on whether you're spending or satisfying tax residency in another country.
Does the UK have similar tax residency rules?
The simple answer to this question would be no, not really. In the UK, they brought in the statutory residence test in 2013 as part of the Finance Act. And it is rather complicated and complex. And so therefore, in the UK, it's not as clear as if you've spent more than half of the year in the UK, you'd be a resident or otherwise not. And there are various tests to go into, and I won't go into the finer details on this, but the tests include the automatic overseas test. So if you satisfy that test, you're automatically deemed to be a non-resident in the UK. There's an automatic residency test. So if you satisfy the rules for that, you're deemed to be a resident. And then there's also the sufficient ties test. And this gauges how many relevant connections you have or ties to the UK, and that will determine how many days you can spend there. And if, for example, you are satisfying residence in two countries, say, for example, Spain and the UK, there are tiebreakers to determine where you should be deemed to be a tax resident between the two. And this is on the basis of the double tax treaty between both countries. Overall, you can only really be a tax resident in one country or the other. So really, in terms of gauging if you're a UK tax resident or not, you need to evaluate your own circumstances against these tests, and this will determine how many days you can spend in the UK, and of course, whether or not you'll be deemed to be a tax resident or not. The less relevant ties you have in the UK, the more days you could potentially spend in the UK without being deemed to be a UK tax resident. The more relevant ties you have in the UK, the fewer days you can spend in the UK without being deemed to be a UK tax resident. So these days could range from needing to spend fewer than 16 days in the UK if you have many relevant UK ties, to being able to spend up to 182 days in the UK if you have no relevant UK ties. One criteria that is the same as the UK is that if you do spend more than 183 days or more in the UK, you are indeed deemed to be a UK tax resident. So overall, it's a little bit more complicated than Spain, and you do need to make sure you're aware of the various tests and factors that are involved in UK tax residency.
Well, if it wasn't complicated enough, is it possible to meet the tax residence criteria of both Spain and the UK at the same time? And what happens in this case?
Yes, good question, Howard. So it is technically possible to meet the criteria of tax residency in both Spain and the UK. Although you can only be a tax resident in one country or the other, according to the double tax treaty between the UK and Spain. So if you're deemed to be a resident in both countries, one thing that they will look at is if you have a permanent home in each country. And if you have a permanent home in one country but not the other, that's where they will deem you to be a resident. If, however, you have permanent homes available to you in both countries, they will deem you to be a resident in the country which is your centre of vital interests. So again, where your close family and your personal ties are strongest. However, if, again, this test is indeterminate and you're deemed to be a resident in both countries on the back of that, they will look at which country you have what's called your habitual abode. And really, this is determined by where do you spend most of your time. And this will usually be the tiebreaker between whether you'll be deemed to be a Spanish tax resident or indeed a UK tax resident. So that's how they'll determine where you're a tax resident if it seems that you satisfy tax residency in both Spain and the UK.
Okay. Well, given all that, do you find that many people get their tax residency wrong? And what happens if they do and the authorities find out?
Yes, Howard, yeah, sometimes we do. And it is usually people who have not spoken with the professional or been fully informed on tax residency. So some people, for example, continue to pay tax in their country of origin, for example, while spending most of the year here in Spain, and they believe that this is okay. Of course, Spain will not accept that the tax was paid elsewhere, and they will want the person to make the appropriate tax declarations in Spain and pay the taxes that are due here. So it is very important to get this right, and understanding your own tax residency status and what obligations you have is extremely important. The cost of getting it wrong could be quite serious, and it could result in a full tax investigation, expensive fines, or sanctions. So I would say it's certainly best to seek professional advice and avoid any issues here. The cost of getting it wrong could be far, far higher than the cost of being properly advised.
Well, Spain has a bit of a reputation for having, shall we say, an unwelcome tax regime. What's your advice to people who are concerned about being tax resident in Spain?
I would say it's somewhat of a misconception. Often Spain gets a bad rep in terms of the level of taxes payable here. But when you compare it on a relative basis to other countries, for example, the UK, where many of our listeners would have moved from, or indeed many of our clients would move from the UK. Overall, the tax picture is somewhat in line with many other European countries. In fact, if you break it down even further, you know, income tax between the UK and Spain is somewhat similar. Capital gains taxes is somewhat in line between the two countries. And the only real tax that people tend to get worried about here is the likes of the Spanish wealth tax, which, again, we don't have in the UK. Overall, Spanish wealth tax may not be as high as you could think it would be based on the headline figures that you can look at, you know, certain figures of 3.5%, for example. There are ways to bring down your wealth tax quite considerably, and some assets won't be subject to wealth tax, for example. If you look at areas like, which I touched upon before, inheritance tax, succession tax planning, if you compare Spain versus the UK, in the UK you have inheritance tax on your estate with allowances that have been frozen for 18 years now, where the rate is 40%, whereas in Spain the succession tax rates are far, far lower. So overall, you can actually get to a better tax position on a long-term basis by moving to Spain. So it's very important just to assess your situation objectively and compare tax rates and what taxes would apply to you between, say, the UK where you're leaving and here in Spain. And you might be surprised to find out that Spain may not be as tax inefficient as you initially thought.
That would be a nice surprise. Many thanks, Cathal. But of course, the Blevins-Franks website, we must remember that.
Yes, blevinsfranks.com is a great website to go. We have a lot of podcasts, articles, and various other information there that could be valuable. And of course, if anybody would like to make an appointment with one of our local advisors, we can all be found on the website where you can arrange a no-obligation consultation with one of our partners.
Many thanks.
Thank you, Howard. I appreciate it.
Hey Central Ohio, the nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
When it comes to showing appreciation, the gift you choose says everything. Minky Couture luxury blankets make the perfect statement. Soft, stylish, and unforgettable. Whether you're thanking a client, rewarding an employee, or celebrating a milestone, nothing delivers warmth and gratitude like a Minky blanket. With custom options and elegant packaging, your gift will stand out and be remembered long after the moment has passed. Make your corporate gifting extraordinary. With Minky Couture, luxury you can feel. Visit minkycouture.com to get started.